Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda FM.
Jacaranda FM, what a powerful song. Alicia Keys, We Are Here. And she's running this thing that she donated $1 million the other day of her own money, divided equally amongst these 12 groups. She decided to donate money to different groups and stuff. And just a couple of them, you know, it's nice when you're a big star, a mega star, to give something back to the community. And I want to find out what you're doing about that young man, Dylan Olifant, my in-studio guest. He's a stand-up comedian, although tonight he is sitting down. Are you okay? Was that a good joke? You're a sit-down comedian.
Yeah, I'm a comfortable comedian tonight.
You got me there. Well, she calls us We Are Here Movement, and she looks at like different groups striving towards you know, improving gay rights, fighting racial inequity in American, in the justice system. So she's involved with that, and she's also, it's called Keep a Child Alive. She's involved with that. So, you know, it's amazing that she's got such a big name. She's out there, and a lot of people don't know about this. But you're still up and coming. You're 24 years old. I tell you, not long to go, and you're going to be the next Trevor Noah in this country. I can promise you that. Trevor had to start somewhere. And one day when you've got a big name and everybody knows you, and I'm sure you do it already, to give back to society and your community in El Dorado Park, I'm sure, like you said, the school you went to, that school, your school that you went to the other day. Do you think it's an important thing to do?
To give back? No, definitely. That's what we are here for, to give back. We can't be taking and taking. We must be giving. Because that's what we are here for. So, yeah, I go, I try my best to give to who I care for and who I like. In fact, you should start with who you give, who the closest to you, who need it more, because that's where charity begins. It begins at home, where you give birth to a child called Charity.
Now, your parents, are they proud of you at this stage? They must be. I mean, the other thing is, like, get a real job, Dylan. You know, it's like you ended up as a professional comedian. Is that what I can call you?
Yeah, I ended up a professional. I remember going into my parents' room telling them, I want to become a comedian. My dad, I saw a tear fall down his cheek.
Oh, no.
Because he also cries on the first day of everything.
You should have told him a joke, maybe.
It was like, the first thing he asked me, am I going to swear? That's what
you're going to swear a lot on stage.
Am I going to swear a lot? Am I going to use vulgar language on stage? Because he's really, he doesn't care for vulgar language. So they accepted it. Well, it was difficult in the beginning. I'm sure it was difficult because I told them I'm going to leave college because I attended at like Rosebank College. It's horrible.
What were you studying?
Journalism. And Rosebank College is so bad, it's not even in Rosebank. That's how bad it is.
how many years did you spend there?
I only spent a year. Only spent a year, and then I realized that's not where I want to be. That's not where I was meant to be. And I spent actually a few months, but for my parents, I will call it a year.
Okay, now journalism. Why did you get? I mean, I know, as you say, you like writing stories and poems and stuff. And journalism, it could have been. I mean, if you were a journalist, how long is it? About 3-4 year course. What do you think of journalism? All over the world. I mean, today they were shooting rubber bullets at journalists and stuff. Is that the kind of thing you wanted to get involved with?
No, that's exactly the only reason why I didn't like journalism. I love the process of writing. Writing is a good thing. But the only reason why is because it's too factual. I don't know, I'm a creative. Creatives don't like facts, really. Well, we work with facts, but we want to put our own thing in there. We can't be going, police shot rubber bullets, but I think they should have used the real bullets. That'd be a horrible article.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you didn't end up being a journalist. You're going to be one of the most amazing comedians ever the world has ever seen. I can just see it. I can just feel it. You're just this amazing guy. Not because you want to be funny or whatever, but you're still a youngster. You're 24, and you've got discipline, and you love people. And you know exactly what you want to do in life. A lot of people your age, what are they doing now? You know what I mean?
Yeah, they in Baltimore prison.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just go back to El Dorado Park, the vibe there. What was it like, you know, with all the violence around as well. I mean, okay, you're a bit younger, but your parents and your grandparents, they must have had a tough time during the apartheid years and stuff. Did they ever talk to you about those years?
My parents actually never spoke to me about apartheid. I actually, the only things I've actually know of apartheid was learned at school. My parents actually never spoke to me because I was also a baby. And by the time I was 4 or 5, that's when apartheid was completely gone, when they could speak to me. They didn't really mention apartheid as a thing to me, so I don't really know anything.
But still today with stand-up comedy, do you use anything that, I mean, as you say, you didn't really know what happened, but I'm sure you've read a lot about apartheid and you've heard about those bad old days. Do you bring that up during your stand-up comedy show?
I bring up apartheid every now and then, but it's not what my act is mainly about. My act is not even about race, really. I do bring up race as a story, as a thing, because we can't be hiding the elephant in the room. it's the thing that. But apartheid is not really a subject that I go on wild about. But
Now there was one guy called Trevor Noah. You were at school, you were at college, and when was the first time you heard about this guy called Trevor Noah? You saw him maybe on TV or maybe, where did you actually see him, at a live show?
I saw him at a live show, but when I saw him, I was like, this guy looks familiar. Then I realized I've seen him on TV before, but I didn't realize where on TV or what I saw him on TV. And I watched him at a comedy festival called the Just Because Comedy Festival. And I was like, wow, that is awesome. I would in that same year, I think he did his one-man show at the Lyric Theatre, the Daywalker, his first one-man show. And I was like, I want a ticket to that. And my parents were like, no, you can go alone. I was like, okay, I'll go alone. I want to go watch Trevor Noah. And I went to watch Daywalker. I saw the opening act there, and I was like, that's what I want to be. I'd love to be the guy opening the show there for Trevor. And then 2 years later, well, a few years later, I found myself as the opening act on that stage at the Lyric Theatre.
Let's have a listen to Trevor. Where is Trevor now? Trevor, please stand up. He doesn't want to.
I finally get to the front of the line. The guy comes to the window in the truck. He's like, hey, you want tacos? So, well, it would be awkward if I didn't. You know, he's like, hey, I don't know. Maybe you just want a Coke or something. He says, no, I wouldn't come here for a Coke. I came for tacos. Give me tacos. It's okay. How many tacos you want? So I don't know what they are, so just give me one. So we say, one taco. He's like, one taco, coming up. He goes and he prepares it, does his thing, comes back, and he's like, hey, here's your taco, friend. I said, thank you. He's like, yeah, you want a napkin? And now on our side of the world, a napkin is that thing babies wear. So he was trying to say serviette, which is what everyone in the world says except America, serviette. So he goes, you want a napkin? I said, why the hell would I want a napkin? He says, hey, man, for the mess afterwards. I said, for the mess? Is it that instant that I'm going to need a napkin? He says, yo, you never know with tacos, man. 1 minute you think you got it, then it's coming out.
My studio guest, Dylan Willifond. Dylan, it is time now. Willie says, bring on the jokes. I'm here to interview you. We're having a chat about your life. Now they want you to tell jokes. So are you prepared to tell a couple of jokes later on during the show? Are you
maybe
okay?
I'll rock.
But do you want to stand up when you tell these jokes? Because you are a stand-up comedian, aren't you?
No, I don't need to stand up. I can just sit down.
So how do you feel like, I mean, you're in a room with a lot of people, and there's always a joker, or in a pub or whatever, there's always one guy
that thinks he's funnier than the comedian.
And nobody laughs or whatever. And has that happened to you, where you sit next to somebody and you go like, wow, man, he didn't hit the punchline? Or and have you had a go at somebody like that, where you're just trying to help them out, like, my jokes are better than yours? Was there a stage in your life when you did that?
Screaming at the comedian, going, my joke is better. I would never do that. It wouldn't help the comic. And it wouldn't make me feel better about myself either. So no, I'd never. In fact, comedians hate heckles. They hate it when someone thinks they're funnier than. Because odds are they're not as funny as the guy that's on stage. Most of the time, I would say, just call on the guy on stage and tell him to come prove to us how funny he is. Because that's what people always think. Because a lot of people think that they're funnier than the comedian. But when you call them on stage and then you're like,
But also, how do you feel like walking on stage? I mean, backstage, obviously, the adrenaline. I mean, when you had to go on tour with Trevor Noah, obviously, you didn't phone Trevor and say, Trevor, it's Dylan, yeah, I want to be on your show, whatever. How did that happen? How did you get booked to go on that show? He must have seen you somewhere or heard about you.
Yeah, like I say, in 2012, the clip he actually played there, I was actually on right before he performed that show, That's Racist. In 2012, I opened for him in his national That's Racist tour.
Barney and Friends. Barney Simon. Jack Aran.